This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. This week, President Obama met with U.S. House Republicans to hear their thoughts on cutting the budget deficit and the national debt. And the House Republicans unveiled their proposed budget, which calls for major changes in entitlement programs, among other things. But what about the House Democrats? Democratic Congressman Hank Johnson represents Georgia's 4th District. It's in metro Atlanta, includes much of DeKalb, all of Rockdale, and parts of Gwinnett and Newton counties. Congressman Johnson, welcome back.
Thank you, Dennis. Good to be back.
Do you think the president did the right thing in meeting with House Republicans before he had a big meeting, at least en masse, with House Democrats?
Yeah, I thought that that was fine. He could come back to us and give us some idea of whether or not the House Republicans were willing to budge. The fact that the president has come to the halls of Congress to meet with congressional representatives, I think it's a good thing. He's meeting with the rank-and-file members since John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, has said he doesn't want to conduct any more face-to-face negotiations with the president. So it ties the president's hands. He wants to come to some kind of an agreement on our fiscal issues. He has to have somebody to talk to. Mitch McConnell is busy running for re-election, and so the president's move to actually come here and talk with the rank and file in both caucuses, I think, is a wise move, and it shows that he really wants to get something done.
On the Republican budget, obviously there are a number of things that for you and the House Democratic Caucus would be non-starters, particularly the way in which Congressman Ryan and his colleagues are talking about changing Medicare. But he did do some things that Republicans had not talked about much before, including revenue, tax break elimination, and that sort of thing. Is that at least a starting point for you?
No, the Ryan budget is nonsense. It is something that does not explain how you increase revenues by lowering the tax rates for companies and for individuals. There is absolutely nothing in that budget that would restore any revenue that would be reduced by reducing the tax rates. The Republicans are still hell-bent on protecting the wealth of the wealthy and the corporate elites in America.
But Republicans have talked about rolling back some of the revenue-raising measures that the president has managed to include. Here it seems, though, that Congressman Ryan, while he's not proposing new revenue, is accepting what's already been done. Going back to the original question, isn't that at least a starting point for talks?
Well, the Bush-era tax cuts expired on incomes above $450,000. For a revenue-raising amount of about $700 billion that is already in place. They've closed the door on any new revenue that would offset the draconian cuts that they are advocating for. Additionally, they want to cut some of the deductions, like the mortgage interest deduction, that middle-class people have to offset their incomes, but it doesn't say anything. That budget doesn't say anything about closing down tax loopholes for the rich and the wealthy.
If you're going, though, to try to raise revenue through closing tax breaks and loopholes, since the mortgage interest deduction, while it is popular, also accounts for a whole lot of money, doesn't that have to at least be on the table in combination with closing the other deductions and loopholes that you mentioned?
Yeah, well, if you're not going to be specific about what deductions you're proposing to eliminate, then that is a problem. But it is pretty common knowledge that one of the loopholes or one of the tax incentives that he would close would be in the nature of charitable deductions and things like the mortgage interest rate deduction. Those kinds of things affect the middle class. You're trying to balance the budget on the backs of the middle class and the poor. It's not going to work.
On the other hand, though, the Democratic budget from the Senate, put forward by Washington Senator Patty Murray, talks about eliminating tax loopholes and deductions also. But it doesn't specify a lot of those breaks either, does it?
I've not studied that budget, but you can rest assured that revenues from those who can afford it are called for in Senator Murray's budget.
The other point that Congressman Ryan and many Republicans have made, and some Democrats too, has been, look, we have to look at entitlement reform because really that's where the money is when it comes to the long-term drain on the nation's treasury. We have aging baby boomers who are going to be moving into Medicare and Social Security at the same time that a lot of those funds are in trouble. So whether one likes Congressman Ryan's proposal or not, isn't it incumbent upon the Democrats, House and Senate, to put forward a reform plan of their own?
Yes, there are long-term concerns to both the Medicare Trust Fund and also Social Security Trust Fund. But I might add that the Social Security system has absolutely no contribution to the nation's debt.
No, it's a separate thing, but there are concerns about the Social Security Trust Fund over the long haul, are there not?
Well, yes, we want it to remain solvent for as long as possible. Right now, it's all the way through 2047, but we'd like to get it to 2075 or beyond. And so, yes, Social Security, there is a need for us on a long-term basis to protect that system. With respect to Medicare, the problems are more immediate. The president talked about the possibility of some kind of means testing for Medicare. And, of course, you have the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, that is reducing medical costs as we speak. That will have a positive impact on the Medicare Trust Fund. Bottom line about our budget is that Democrats seek a budget that is going to get our economy moving forward quickly, and the Republicans want to put us on an austerity budget where we cut spending. That's something that most or many economists will tell you is the exact opposite of what an economy coming out of recession needs. An economy coming out of recession needs stimulation, needs stimulus. It needs government stimulation, government money to help us rebuild our infrastructure in this, in some ways, that is crumbling.
What about the argument that the government, through whatever stimulus programs it might come up with, cannot create jobs as efficiently or as effectively as a private sector that is properly incentivized?
Well, I tell you, you know, ask the millions who have lost jobs, the millions of federal, state, and local employees who have lost jobs during the last 34 months when we've been adding jobs in the private sector. 35 straight months of job growth. The last numbers from last month, I mean, we created about 150,000 new jobs in the private sector. Public sector jobs have been on the decline. We've lost many, a million or so during that 34 months. And so the government does create jobs. Those jobs benefit the middle class, and they benefit our economy as a whole. We would be doing much better with our economic recovery if we had not lost those 1 million public sector jobs. Those are teachers, police officers, firefighters, road workers, and it hurts in terms of the delivery of services when you don't have anybody to actually deliver the government services.
But if we spend more on stimulus programs, which presumably, at least in the short run, would add again to our budget deficit, aren't we digging ourselves an even deeper long-term economic hole for the sake of a short-term fix?
No, because what you're doing when people are working, the spending increases, tax revenues go up, the debt goes down. That's just the way that the economy works.
But aren't we already looking at a big deficit that has been brought about to a large measure by spending more than we take in?
Well, yes, we've had numerous years of deficit spending, much of which is because of the fact that the Bush tax cuts were unpaid for, and they came at a time where we were funding on our credit card wars in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Those wars were not paid for, but we're paying for them now. That's what ran up the debt. To bring that debt down is not a short-term primary goal. The short-term primary goal should be to get this economy moving forward by creating jobs.
Knowing that the Ryan budget is probably going to be a non-starter in a Democratic Senate, and Senator Murray's budget's probably a non-starter in a Republican House, what are the absolutes for you and some of your colleagues in the House Democratic Caucus? Are there things that you say, okay, we draw a line in the sand on this, we're not budging on it?
Well, I don't think that you've heard that from the Democratic Caucus. There are some groups of Democrats who say that they will never support any changes to benefits for the so-called entitlement programs, meaning Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. I myself am opposed to any cuts in benefits from those programs. But Democrats are not the problem as far as being unwilling to negotiate anything. It has been the Republicans. And they are simply unwilling to do anything that would hurt the profits and the wealth of their constituencies.
So are you saying, aside from Social Security and Medicare, that you would be certainly open to at least talking about cuts in other domestic programs?
Yeah, I think everything should be on the table during a negotiation. I'm certainly willing to look at anything and do what makes sense to do. I think that's what the president wants us to do. That's what most Democrats want. In order to make it happen, though, we need the House Republicans to give up some of their just-say-no attitude on resources and revenue. And if they can come towards the center, we can move towards the center as well. But at this point, where the center is located has been so warped by the extremism in the Republican Party. I'm afraid that the Republicans have a lot more moving to do than Democrats, because we've already cut this economy. We've already cut government spending. You know, of course, we can go a little bit further, but we've got to take into consideration the fact that it hurts our economic recovery. And if we continue to lose jobs in the public sector, that's going to continue to create a drag on our recovery.
Are you saying then that Medicare cuts of any kind are off the table as far as you're concerned? And is that a problem, since that is one place where we're expecting to see huge increases in costs?
No, I said Medicare cuts to benefits are off the table. People have earned those benefits. They have paid for them. We cannot go back on the promise that we made to our elderly to provide those benefits to them.
So are you ruling out changes for future recipients then?
Yes, at this time, I am. But I remain willing to discuss all options. But I'll tell you, we just squeezed $700 billion from Medicare by way of stopping the payments that are excessive to providers, particularly equipment, prescription drugs, and those kinds of things in the Medicare system. And so we probably can squeeze even more savings, and I know that we can create additional revenue for Medicare as well through a means test arrangement, which we don't have now. There are a lot of seniors who don't really need Medicare. They've got they're covered by private insurance, and they don't really need Medicare. So if Medicare became more of a system for folks who really needed it, well, there would be a lot of savings that would accrue from such a change.
Georgia Democratic Congressman Hank Johnson, thanks so much again for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dennis.